So let's start with a basis to say, as Americans, no matter where we are on this scale, we're rich. Now, obviously, there's poverty in our country and there's great needs. We understand that. But in terms of the world economy and where the world is, I think that these verses don't apply to somebody else. And I would encourage us to see ourselves written into the words that Paul shares with us.
From the studios of the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, welcome to Intentional Living. And by that open, you're probably thinking Dr. Randy will be talking about money. And you'd be right. But specifically, he'll be talking about God's view of money. And it's day one. Now, to help you be intentional with your finances, here's Randy.
Thank you, Kurt. Welcome to the program. And you might be thinking, oh, goody, he's going to talk about God's view of money. He's a killjoy, isn't he? Because money is such a personal thing. I want to do what I want to do with money. We know the Bible says that the root, money, is the root of all kinds of evil. And we can think of, you know, the evil isn't only like being greedy and illegal and doing things to you know, possess and take control of money and manipulate people. It can be fear of losing it, you know. It can become that kind of a thing in each of our lives that dominates our lives, because money has such an important value to us, even though it's just a piece of paper. And yet it allows freedom and control and things that we want. How do we view this thing of money from the perspective of God? We're going to unpack that over this week as we really focus on what does it mean to be intentional with our money and understand God's view of money. Hey, listen, we're back in the saddle here after literally a series that's just kept us going around the country. We started with the Intentional Love Marriage Conference in Midland, Michigan. Then we went to Jackson, had a complete sellout in Albuquerque, and as well in Phoenix, both in Glendale and Chandler. What a fantastic weekend. And then this last weekend, just Friday night, home base Tucson, Faith Community Church, Pastor Bruce and all the team there. Thank you all for your great work and a great group of people this year that we had a chance to share with and talk about the power of being intentional in your marriage. More to come on that in the months ahead for sure. All right, let's go to the teaching studio and begin this series on God's view of money. Well, I'll talk about money and what God's view is of money. Money is an interesting topic because it evokes so much emotion. It's interesting how we share with each other about personal things in our life. We're going through a difficult time physically, or if we're struggling relationally or concerned about one of our kids. We're pretty open about that. But money is a really closed kind of a topic, isn't it? Our personal money and money in general. And it's one of these topics where money can either be a great blessing or it can be a curse. We all know the verses. We've read the verses when it comes to how the love of money can be the root of all evil and be damaging in our life. And as I was preparing for this lesson, I was thinking about, what does God have to say about money? Not so much about how to use it, even though we're going to talk about that some. We know we're to be good stewards. But what about the seriousness of money? Where does money fit into the economy of God's thinking? And how does it impact us? And as people of Christ, people following God, people who want to live intentionally, what can we learn from Scripture? So today we're going to have quite a few references to Scripture, taking us back to an understanding, I think at least a piece, a slice of what God's thinking is about money. And I came up with all sorts of different titles for this and finally settled on the basic. You know, what is God's view of money? I don't think it gets any more basic than that. Many passages where we can see a glimpse of how God views the stuff of life, but I don't think any better than 1 Timothy chapter 6. Where it's very clear in 1 Timothy chapter 6, and of course, this is Paul talking to this young pastor, Timothy, as he's really beginning his ministry. And he says to Timothy, he says, command the people as you're teaching the people, as you're leading the people, command those who are rich in this present age. And let me just stop for a moment. When we use the word rich, it's a relative term, isn't it? We always think there's somebody else who's rich. Not me. The reality is, all of us in this room, compared to the people that Paul was writing about, we are filthy rich. So let's start with a basis to say, as Americans, no matter where we are on this scale, we're rich. Now, obviously, there's poverty in our country and there's great needs. We understand that. But in terms of the world economy and where the world is, I think that these verses don't apply to somebody else. And I would encourage us to see ourselves written into the words that Paul shares with us. He says, command those, Timothy, who are rich in this present age, not to be haughty, not to trust in uncertain riches, their 401k retirement plans, or their savings account, or their disability insurance. We have all those things today. They didn't have any of those things back then. But today we put into place all these things to kind of protect us and make us feel safer. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, not to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gave us richly all things. And then he goes on to say, let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Jesus even makes it, I think, a more profound statement about wealth, about money. In Matthew chapter 19, he says, assuredly, I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. It's a pretty profound statement. And maybe you know the context. Of course, he was being challenged by the rich young ruler. I've done all of these things. What more can I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus saw into his heart that the real issue for him was his money, was his stuff. And he says, go sell everything that you have, give to the poor. Then you can have eternal life. I think the key to this teaching that I want to really unpack for myself as a follower of Christ and for each of us, that there is an undeniable link between our view of money, our view of God, and going to heaven. I don't think that we can deny the fact that the scripture is very clear that there's something about money that reveals what's really going on in our hearts. You know, I've said over the years, show me your check registry, how you spend your money, or your credit card statement, and it sort of starts to reveal your view of money. How we use money is really an indication of what goes on in our hearts. I think this says it pretty well, that there are some people so poor that the only thing they have is money. You know, think about it. There's some research done. I don't know how researchers do this, but some researchers found that many people think about money every 7 seconds. You know, maybe in the workplace or in life or something coming up related to spending or money or getting or doing. And so money is one of those mediums of exchange that is a constant part of how we think and view life. It was interesting that Forbes went out and surveyed the 400 wealthiest people in the world. And it was a life satisfaction scale, how satisfied you are with life. What was interesting is after the results came back in, it was not statistically better than the Inuit people of northern Greenland. And we know from a recent study that Americans are now on the happiness scale, 14th in the world. And yet we have more than any people on the planet. And so there is not a relationship between money and happiness. In fact, the research shows there's a level at which a person reaches financially, above which the increase in happiness isn't there.
You're listening to Dr. Randy's teaching from God's View of Money, and he'll continue in just a moment. When you become a new monthly member, we'll send you the Finishing Strong DVD, a beautiful water print of the same name by Dr. Randy's wife, Donna, as well as his coaching CDs every month. Call 1-888-1717 and press option number 4. Again, that's 1-888-1717 during West Coast business hours, or go to theintentionallife.com. Thanks. Don't go too far. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
It turns out that money does buy happiness after all.
Welcome to the Intentional Living Minute. Here's Rod Robinson, your intentional stewardship coach.
So says Michael Norton, a Harvard Business School professor who conducted the research to prove it. Dr. Norton studied 315 Americans who were asked to rank their level of happiness and predict how much happier they would be if they made more money. Their predictions were way off. Even when their income doubled, there wasn't much change in happiness. What did make people happy? Giving money away. Those who gave generously to charity were much happier than those who didn't. You might make more money, Dr. Norton observed, but you're still stuck with the same in-laws, traffic jams, and software glitches. So make money if you wish. But if you really want to be happy, be sure to give some of it away. For Intentional Living, I'm Rod Robison.
For more insight and encouragement, go to theintentionallife.com.
Hey, this is Bobby, and I'm living intentionally by mastering my money. I am in the process of going to Financial Peace University with Dave Ramsey. Your program has checked me about being intentional with my money. I have begun to pay off debt, receive two tax checks, and have begun using that to pay off medical bills and other things to get a hold of the things that are managing me instead of me managing them. Also putting into place a budget and living by it, and living by a cash budget instead of just by the seat of my pants. I thank you for the challenge that I hear from you daily, and I challenge others to do the same.
Today's teaching from the Intentional Living Center is available to you with our thanks for your gift to the ministry. The teaching includes not only what you heard on the radio today, but all sessions of this entire study. Find out more at theintentionallife.com. Now, let's get back with Dr. Randy at the Intentional Living Teaching Studio as he continues God's view of money.
There is not a relationship between money and happiness. In fact, the research shows there's a level at which a person reaches financially, above which the increase in happiness isn't there. Now you look at someone like a Bill Gates and you say, well, he must be happier than the person, you know, who's making just a percentage less. Happiness, according to the research, isn't tied to the amount as it is to the attitude about life. I mean, clearly a Bill Gates has more options than we do in life. But that alone doesn't create the happiness that I think so many of us seek for. One of the things about money is it's a yardstick. Have you ever noticed how in our culture we seem to value people based on their net worth? Now, we know what net worth is, right? Net worth is simply taking all the assets that a person has, your bank account, your cars, your home, whatever it is. You add all that up, that big pile of stuff that you have. And then you subtract whatever the liabilities are. What do you owe on all that stuff, right? And whatever that number is, comes out, is what we call in our financial statements the net worth. Isn't it interesting that we even use a term? What is your net worth? What is your net worth? In other words, how much you have becomes how much you're worth. And it's almost as though in our culture, we know how to put a dollar sign above a person's head. We do treat people differently based on where they are in the spectrum of their net worth. You ever notice it seems to be people with high net worth hang around with other people of high net worth? And people of lower net worth tend to hang around with people of lower net worth. There's a classification that seems to happen as money becomes one of those ways that we sample relationships. It's unfortunate, but it tends to be a reality in our culture today. Well, let's talk a little bit about what is God's intention for money in terms of his view of life and money. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 19 says, "As for every man to whom God has given riches and wealth and given him power to eat of it," which is interesting because a lot of people have wealth but don't even have power to enjoy it. And Solomon is saying here, if they have that, and they have the power to eat it, and receive his heritage, and rejoice in his labor, this is a gift of God. You know, a healthy view of money is this verse right here. To have that sense of contentment with whatever it is that God has given us. we know the research is that nearly 70% of people, when they're surveyed, are not happy with their position in life, what they're doing, where they're working, finding satisfaction in that part of their life that gains them the resources to be able to live, which is a sad thing. And as I was thinking about preparing for this lesson, what came to my mind is that there are three things that I think money reveals in our life. And what I'd like to do for a few minutes is just show what I believe money reveals in our own lives, and then conclude with sharing something very practical, bringing us back to, I think, a principle or a process of thinking about the resources in our life. The fact is that some people, money reveals that they have a belief problem. In other words, they have a belief problem about the purpose of money. What is the reason for money? What do you believe about money? If I were to sit down with you privately and we were to take away all the Christianese and all the facade often of what we say to each other, and just honestly talked about money and how we view money, what words would we use? Would we use words like security, or I don't have enough, or I need a little bit more, or life isn't fair, or would there be a sense of jealousy for those that have more? I think we all would probably have a different attitude or view of money. I think it's something I wrestle with. I'm assuming you do as well. It's one of those universal issues I think we can wrestle with in our life. So I thought I'd share the view with you from the top of the pile. What do people say who are at the top of the money pile? The ones that are up there, the wealthiest people on the planet. How do they view money? What do they say? I don't know if you know the name James Altucher. He's an entrepreneur. He's been on TV. He's made and lost millions. You ever notice how some people, they can make a lot of money and they can lose a lot of money and they go through a lot of money? And he's just one of these guys. And he was reported to have said, "I thought if I could make $10 million, that it must be too easy. In fact, I honestly thought everyone else probably already had $11 million. So then I felt poor." And just stop there for a minute. Isn't that how we often feel in life? I've got this much. They've got that much. I must be poor. And then he went on to say, "I now needed $100 million to be happy." And if you've ever heard him, he goes on to talk about what he's learned, some of the lessons about where true happiness comes from, and it's not money. It's kind of that little saying that we have, the one who ends with the most toys wins in life. It's a competitive view of money. And it's something that it's easy to fall into in our culture.
Yeah, it really is. And welcome back here live into our Intentional Living studio. We'll continue this series throughout this week on God's view of money. Love to hear your thoughts on this at 888-888-1717 on our story comment line by pressing number 2. Hey, we have something very special right now for the next several days. Our team, along with my wife Donna and myself, have put together a package that we would want to get into your hands. It's a part of the mission of this ministry. I tell people our mission is to help people find their purpose in Christ, live their purpose in Christ, and to finish strong. Finish your life strong, finish your parenting role strong, your work, your career, the areas of your life that you really made a commitment. And we've created a resource on video that teaches the top 10 list of how to finish strong. And it's put onto a beautiful watercolor painting done by my wife, Donna, ready to be framed, ready to be put up on your wall. You're going to enjoy it, 16 by 20, and the DVD. As you become a member today, in monthly support of the Intentional Living Ministry and ongoing teaching each and every month thereafter. Just go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com, or call 888-888-1717 and press number 4, okay? And again, thank you. God bless you for your support. Hey, and by the way, I'll be sharing comments from our storyline right after this.
Things that I've learned from you have been intentional in my finances, going through a struggle of possibly losing my house. Took your key points and just really started working on things financially and living intentionally for Christ. I've worked on intentionally with my finances,
God has saved my house. And I just really want to thank you for what you've done.
You talked about what we are doing intentionally in our life, and I wanted to tell you that I listen to your money stuff every morning, and it has really inspired me to live intentionally in the area of finances. My husband and I are working right now to pay off our debt, to pay it off completely, and at the same time saving money, and it has made a huge difference.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ.
Hi, Dr. Carlson. I'm Lisa from Middle Georgia, and I would just like to thank you for your program and for your challenge for everybody to live a more intentional life. And my testimony is that about a year ago in February, I started working a part-time job. And I just, in my mind, I said, Lord, I'm going to tithe from my paycheck every week when I get paid. My husband has a job, and we had already tithed from his. But this was just my personal thing, and I would put that aside every week, that part of my paycheck to give to the Lord. And I just feel so blessed that over the past year I've been able to donate to several different ministries that I've followed for a long time and never had much money to be able to donate. But one of the ones I was able to donate to this past year was Family Life Radio, and it just really blessed my heart to have that little bit of extra money that God has blessed us with, and me being able to contribute to such a wonderful ministry. I thank you again for what you do, and I say keep up the good work. Amen.
Lisa, listen, that's the first I've heard. I mean, I just heard this testimony along with you, and it's humbling. And I just want to say, Lisa, thank you for your faithfulness, first and foremost, for giving of what God has given to you. It's an act of worship. That's what a tithe is. It's a tenth. It's an act of worship to say, God, this is all yours, and here's, I'm giving a tenth back as a way of saying, I love you. It's an act of worship and obedience. And the fact that you chose to give some to the ministry, thank you. We appreciate that. We know it's sacrificial from so many people. And I tell our staff here often, we're reminded that, you know, it's people giving small amounts who are giving faithfully, giving out of, their own life that really allows us to do what we do. And I think as we think about money, I just want to be clear that when we talk about money, first and foremost, it's an attitude that we develop in our lives that says, this is not mine, it's God's, and I choose to be intentional with it, with that attitude that it's His first. Boy, that changes everything, doesn't it? All right, Steve, I think we have time for an Elizabeth in California.
Hi, this is Elizabeth in Fort Jones, California. My comment for one thing intentional that helped me in the last year was to ask God for a ministry that I could do out here in the middle of a very rural farmland area. And God gave me an incredible ministry. When I pay my bills at the end of every month, I call a lot of the companies to make sure that everybody's happy, and at the end of every call they always ask, do you have any other questions? And that opens up my ministry. I say, well, I'd like to pray for telephone operators. Is there anything I can pray for you for today? Which opens up a huge opportunity of witnessing to perfect strangers that I'll never meet or see until I'm in heaven. And I thank you for your ministry because I listen to you every day and it's really helped us get along in a better way, get the train back on the tracks. Thank you. God bless you. Bye.
Thank you. You know, Elizabeth, the train can get off the tracks. And as I was hearing your story about asking the Lord to help you find a ministry, as you say in the boondocks, to find a place of ministry, I was thinking at our conferences, these wonderful marriage events that we've been through over this last month, I asked people to tell me, at part of the conference, is to ask them, what's one thing that you would really like to see as a part of a vision or a dream or a goal for you and your spouse for the future. And I was amazed at the number of people who said that we would have a ministry together, that we'd have an opportunity to serve together, that we would, you know, it wasn't the boats and the houses and retirement and all that. That came too, but it was mostly, many times, people saying wanted to have a place of service. Boy, that's the way to talk about finishing strong, you know, our emphasis with our special gift this month, finish strong in service to others. Very powerful. What do you think? What's your story? What's your view of money and how God's using it in your life? Tell us at 888-888-1717. Press number 2 for our comment line.
Hi, Dr. Randy. My name is Tanya. My husband and I are living intentionally by sticking to God's design for money. We are learning to live that it is not our money, but it is His. We recently sold a vehicle. So we went from 3 vehicles down to 2 vehicles. And with that money, we are tithing off of it. And we are hitting our financial goals this month of living the 10-10-80 plan. And we are working every day intentionally to raise our children, to worship the Lord and Christ. And we are just so thankful for your program. Because without your program, Dr. Randy, we wouldn't know what to do. Your radio station is a guidance to us every day, and we are just so thankful that you are on the radio. Thank you, Dr. Randy, and all of Family Life Radio. We are so thankful.
Well, you are welcome. Very humbling. Thank you for the privilege of doing this. You know, we're just on the journey with you, and from time to time, God gives us a little insight, and of course, we read Scripture and try to understand what it means for life, and we stay very focused on this message of being intentional for the things that matter most. Family is right there in the middle, right? Your family, your relationships, and of course, your finance, your health, your work, and growing your faith as well. Being intentional makes a difference. Just stop and ask yourself this question. Remember the old WWJD, what would Jesus do? We take the approach of saying, hey, what's the next right one thing? When you look at Scripture, when you look at what others have done, good counsel you've heard, stop and say, you know, what is the next right thing to do that will bring glory to Christ? And when you do that, and you do that enough times, pretty soon you start making better decisions. Even though you say, wow, I could have gone this way, but I chose to go that. And the difference has been huge in your life. Hey, listen, you know, we're starting this new week. We had a great weekend this last weekend at our final Intentional Love Marriage Conference in Tucson last week, in Phoenix, and in Michigan and New Mexico before then. What a fantastic series this has been. We're really highly pumped. Looking for the end of this year, excited about what's coming up next year, and our team want to get into your hands as a way of saying thank you for becoming an Intentional Living member in monthly support. A beautiful print, Finishing Strong, a watercolor by my wife and teaching from me, and the DVD. Go to theintentionallife.com, and we'll see you tomorrow with more Intentional Living.